Father, as we walk through this time with you, I thank you that you've told us that in you we can find rest, that in you we can find refreshment for our souls. And I pray that as we walk through this time together, I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that that the hope that you bring to us would come alive. And I pray that we would leave here today full, because we've experienced you, because we've opened our hearts to you, and you've just poured into us the way that you do over and over and over again. Your love and your forgiveness, it just fills us. And Father, I pray that that would be true for every single person here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Hoboken Grace, welcome. As things have kind of continued moving for the last couple of weeks, as now the parents' area is over here and this hallway over here is closed off, and we're just kind of living like most of us are living, right, in this kind of state of constant movement and figuring out what's going to happen next and not really knowing what's around the bend or what's going to happen tomorrow, and hopefully not another snowstorm, right? I mean, if you're like me, like, please, no snow, no water at all, like, just any kind of precipitation, just let it, God, please, just nothing wet, right? And we're just in this state of what's going to happen. And as we get started today, I want to do a couple things. I want to let you know about a few things that are going on here at Hoboken Grace, and a few things that you can expect. And then I just want to kind of set the tone a little bit before we walk into the message today. And a few things that you need to know right now is that for those of you who are in situations right now where you're maybe life's just been thrown upside down, and you maybe you're living right now in a huge state of need, this week Hoboken Grace is going to be sending out our disaster assistance application. And what you're going to be able to do is to be able to apply, and there's going to be a team that's going to be overseeing this. We've had people giving from all over the country to be able to give us the opportunity to be able to help those of you who are in those situations. And maybe you've lost everything and you're waiting for insurance to kick in, or maybe you've lost everything and there is no insurance and you just need someone to come alongside of you. This week, that's going to be coming out. And so as soon as you get that, please don't hesitate. Let us know about it. We want to be able to help those of you who are in those situations. And I'm sorry that we don't have it this morning, but there's a few things that we still have to iron out in that before we send that out so that you can begin to apply. And there's going to be a team, like I said, that's going to oversee that so that the staff can continue focusing on what we're doing in the community and how we move forward together as a church. But I want to let you know about that. And then the other thing is, I want to celebrate something really quickly, because the reason that this hallway is all sealed off over here is because the organization that we work with here, that we rent from, they're called Hopes. And in this flood, Hopes lost all of their offices. They're located at 124 Grand Street and a couple other smaller places throughout the city. And when the flood hit, they lost everything. I mean, some of you were actually in their offices over the last couple weeks helping to take out literally truckloads full of just soaked files. And everything in their offices was basically thrown away. And so what they're doing right now is they're moving their offices here. And we've been helping them to get that situated and set up. But the thing that I want to celebrate is that in the midst of all of that happening and everything that they lost, they actually have given us an office here to be able to use for the next month, because we lost our office as well. I mean, our office is located on the corner of First and Jackson. So if we get 3 inches of rain, there was a good possibility we were going to lose our office, right? We just knew that. That's the reality of First and Jackson. We were able to salvage a lot of the stuff. We were able to get it up high enough where we didn't lose the stuff. But we lost our office as well, at least for until they can rebuild it. And so they actually gave us a space over here on the corner to be able to use for our offices. And so I've done this in all the services, but I just want to just recognize them. And if you guys would just thank them with me for what they've done. We absolutely love working with them. They're phenomenal partners. Ever since we've moved into this space, it's just been an incredible partnership. One of the things we were most excited about when we moved into this space was not just the space itself, but the fact that when we wrote our rent check every month, and for those of you who don't know who Hopes is, they're an organization inside of Hoboken that works with people who are struggling with underprivileged families. And one of the things we were super excited about is that every month when we wrote that check, we know that money is going to help people to do exactly what we're trying to do. And so we absolutely love that relationship, and it's just been unbelievable to be able to serve them, love them, and then them taking care of us as well. It's been phenomenal. So I want to recognize them as well and celebrate that as we begin. And I know for some of you as you walk in here today, as a matter of fact, probably for a lot of us as you walk in here today, even though it's the 12 o'clock service, which means you probably should have gotten more sleep than everyone else today, right? I know for a lot of us as we walk in here today, you walk in here today tired. And maybe you're tired because you've just been going. Yesterday was my first day off since the hurricane hit, and I sat down on my couch, and it was just unbelievable to me how tense I was. I hadn't stopped long enough to be able to realize how tense I was. And it was almost hard to get myself to actually relax. And for some of you, you've just been going and going and going. I know that's true because you've been right alongside of us and working project after project after project, just loving people every chance that you got. And you walk in here today and you're tired. And for others of you, maybe you're tired because you've lost everything. And you've been cleaning out your place and throwing all this stuff away. And for some of you, you're even looking for places. You're trying to figure out where you're going to live next week and where you're going to be and how that's going to work out. And you walk in here today and you're tired. And for others of you, maybe you haven't lost anything, but there's something about it as you walk these streets. Even if you didn't lose anything, even if everything is exactly the way it was before for you, there's something about walking these streets where there's just this weight, right? I mean, you just feel it all the time right now. You walk past all these people's stuff strung out along these sidewalks, and there's just this weight. And you're tired. I want you to know as we go into today, and we're going to talk through some really unbelievably powerful stuff here in just a minute, but I want you to know before we get to any of that, that today you have the opportunity to rest. You have the opportunity to rest, to relax. And one of the most amazing things about our God is that our God comes to us, comes to you, and comes to me. And the primary relationship that he offers us is not that we are his people and he is our God. That's true. He's your God. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. He is your God. But the relationship that is available to you and to me is this. It's a relationship of a son and a daughter. And that changes everything. As a father, I know that that changes everything. I've got two sons. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And if you've ever met my 3-year-old, you know that he's a bundle of energy. That dude is crazy. He runs all the time. And Anna and I are actually in another apartment because our apartment got flooded, and so we've had to relocate temporarily. And we moved, and I'm a little bit nervous because our new place is on the 4th floor, and we were very intentional about getting a bottom floor apartment because of Caden. And I'm a little bit nervous because I know for the people who live below me now, there's just this constant noise like, because Caden never stops running. He doesn't know any other mode of transportation other than running. My wife and I were trying to get him to stop running, and he doesn't even know how to do it. We're like, Caden, walk. And he's like, he's awkwardly moving across. He doesn't know how to walk, and it's not even in his vocabulary. And one of the things I love, don't get me wrong, I love Caden's energy, but one of the things I love is when Caden, after running and running and running and running, finally gets to the point where he's so exhausted that he has to stop. It only happens every so often, very, very seldom, but every once in a while, he gets to the point where he's so exhausted that he has to stop. And he'll climb up on the couch and sit down on my lap and just lay his head on my shoulder and rest.
And it's one of the most beautiful times in my life. I absolutely love it. And I think he does too. I like to think that he does too. And I just sit there and rest. It lasts for about 30 seconds, so I have to make sure I savor every moment of it, because it's not going to last very long. But it's unbelievably beautiful. And here's the thing I want you to know today. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God has extended to you the opportunity to have him as a father. And maybe you never had a father where you could do that. But I want you to know today that you have the opportunity to have one. And today, as we walk through this, I want you to walk through this with me. Not just sitting here on a chair, but to picture yourself as you are a son or daughter of God, climbing up on the lap of your father and just laying your head against his chest and resting. Just rest. Relax. And know that he's yours and you're his. And you're okay. It's okay. He's got you. And you can relax and rest. We're going to walk through some cool stuff, but I'm telling you, don't miss out on that. The most valuable thing available to you today is that relationship with God, where you sit on his lap and lay your head on his shoulder and rest. And know that you're okay because you're his. Today we're kicking off this brand new conversation called recovery. And for some of you who are here for the first time, you think that this has to do with what's going on around us. It actually doesn't. We planned this series over a year ago. And as we walk through this conversation, there are going to be all sorts of parallels between what we're talking about and what's happening around us. But this isn't about the recovery that's going to be taking place on these streets. The recovery that we're going to be talking about for the next 6 weeks is about recovery from the inside out, not from the outside in. It speaks to recovery from inside of us. It's about recovery from those things that maybe in your life and in my life we thought we'd never actually be able to recover from, that we thought we'd never actually be able to move past. And one of the things that I've found as I've been a pastor and as I've walked this journey and as I've had conversation after conversation after conversation with people who are part of our family, it's this. Every single one of us, almost every single one of us has something in our life that we've been battling that we think we're never going to be able to defeat. Almost every single one of us has something in our lives that man, if we could change it, we wish we could, but no matter how hard we fight against it, it seems like it just keeps defeating us instead of us defeating it. It may be a hurt in your past that you want so bad to be able to move past that hurt, to just let it go. But every time it comes up, there's something that happens inside of you, and you know that there's this anger or this bitterness, this resentment that's just eating you alive. And you can't get past it. It influences every relationship that you walk into. Maybe it's a habit. Something that you've tried so many times to stop. And you can't. And oftentimes when we talk about habits, we think about habits in terms of big things like, oh, he must be talking about a drug habit or an alcohol habit or addictions like that. But I'm not just talking about that. Those aren't the only things that will destroy our lives. I'm also talking about that habit where you just can't stop talking about the people around you and it's destroying your relationships because you can't control your tongue. Or maybe it's the way that you look at food and interact with food. And no matter how you try to stop, whenever you get stressed, you turn to food. And it's destroying the way that you look at yourself and the way that you interact with yourself. Or maybe it's just a hang up. In your life, there's this thing that, man, whenever that happens, it just sets you off and you just blow up. You're like, man, why can't I move past that? Why can't I move past that? Why can't I beat this thing? In almost every single one of our lives, there are these little battles that we're fighting that we wish we could win, but every single time it seems like we've won, every single time it seems like we've moved past it, it just shows up again. A couple weeks ago, I decided as we were walking into this hurricane that I was going to win. I told you a couple weeks ago I like to win. I'm telling you, I love to win. And I looked at this hurricane as a competition. Okay? And so I decided before this hurricane came that my house was not going to flood. I already told you my house flooded, so you know I lost. All right? But I decided I was going to win. So I got a generator. It was kind of an interesting story how I got this generator. I knew that there was a generator in Hoboken, but I didn't have a car, and it was like the day that the hurricane was supposed to hit, and so I decided I was going to go get this thing. I'm like, how am I going to get this thing? I've got no car. How am I going to get it to where I am? So I take my kid's stroller, and I strip that thing down, and I'm pushing the stroller through Hoboken. I get the generator in the gas can, and I'm pushing the generator in the stroller back to my house. People are stopping me on the sidewalk to take pictures. I'm not kidding you. That is not a lie. People are stopping me and taking pictures of this idiot with this stroller with a generator in it. All right, so I set up my generator, I set up my pump, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna beat this thing. I'm gonna get this water out of here faster than it can get in here, and I'm pumping, and I've got this thing going all night long, and I make it through most of the night. And throughout the night, I'm setting my alarm every 30 minutes so that I can get up and check and see where the water's highest and move the pump where it needs to be. And I'm moving it from the backyard to under the floor in the front. And I'm moving it all these different places. And it gets to be about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I think I've won. Because the hurricane's basically over. I mean, it basically moved past. The initial flooding had come in. I'm like, man, I got this thing. I can't believe it. Like, I actually won. The water didn't come above the floor. The space underneath was flooded, but it didn't make it above the floor. I'm like, I got it. And so I decided I was going to go to bed for 2 hours. And 2 hours later, I woke up, and my living room and my kitchen and my back room are all flooded. I'm like, ah. And for some of us, that's the way it is in these battles. And we're doing everything we can to fight that thing. We're doing everything that we can to make sure we don't look at that porn again. We're doing everything that we can to not lose our temper, but the second that we let our guard down, it just blows up. The second that we get tired, the second we get exhausted, it just blows up. And for a lot of us, I think we've come to the point where we think, I'm just going to have to live with this because I'm never going to win. I want to tell you something this morning as we begin this series. You don't have to live that way. And I believe in your life, in my life, God wants to bring you victory. And for some of you, you're here and you think you're the only one. As a matter of fact, right now, you think that this entire message is just for you. I had people after the first service come up to me and they're like, man, you were talking just to me today. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. This room is full of people just like you. But the problem is we've been so dishonest with one another about these battles and these fights that for most of us, we sit here today and we think that we're the only one, and you're not. As a matter of fact, even when you look at the scriptures, you see Paul in the book of Romans talking about this in his own life. Romans 7:15 says this. It says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Just a couple verses later, he says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Let me tell you something. You're not alone. I have those very same battles. Paul had those very same battles. You're not alone. Every single one of us has these battles, whether it's a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up.
And here's what I want you to do today, because for some of you it's just you're thinking big things that culturally everybody looks down on. But the truth is sometimes those small things can destroy your life just as easily as those big things. And so as we're working through this, I want to make sure that you kind of grab hold of what this might look like in your life, because for some of us, it's not that okay, I've got this huge drug addiction that may be your story, but for some of you that's not your story. The story is a story of stress. And you live your life every single day stressed out. And you can't let it go. You are just completely stressed out. Or maybe it's fears. You live every single day with these fears and this anxiety. And you wish you could move past it. You wish that you could conquer this thing. But you realize that it's conquering you. For others of you, it's your work, and you're just, you can't get away from it. No matter how much you want to be able to spend time on other things, you're just addicted to work, and you just work and work and work. Can we just bring up that list of things here? For others of you, it's attractions. And no matter how hard you try, you just continue ending up with the same guy. And you're beginning to realize that it's not just coincidence, but that you're actually attracted to destruction. Addiction, regrets, diet, the foods that you eat, and the way that you look at food. And for some of you, it's that you can't stop yourself when you get stressed out or worried. For others of you, you're so consumed with your body image that you do unbelievably destructive things to yourself. And there's a lie inside of you that says you're never ever going to beat this. It's not true. Worry, you can't stop worrying. There's all sorts of bad habits that can show up this way. Anger. For some of you, you can't control your temper, and no matter how hard you try, it just keeps showing up. Dishonesty, the need to control. Finances, you just max out your card, and then you work so hard to get it off, and then it just comes right back because the way that you deal with life is spending money. Relationships, painful memories, perfectionism, resentment, compulsive thoughts. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know your story. But here's what I want you to do as we begin this series and as we begin this conversation. I want you today inside your program, you received a little notes card. Okay? I want you to take out that notes card. All right? Don't be too cool for school, right? Like, I know like some of you are like laying back, like, I'm not going to do this. No, take out your notes card, all right? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down the area in which you need recovery. You can put your hand over it so your neighbor doesn't see it, but I want you to write down the area in which you need recovery. Because here's the thing, I want from the very beginning of this series, I want for us to not just look at this as theoretical, but I want this to be practical. And if you're going to experience recovery in your life, real, lasting recovery, you have to begin to not just be honest with those around you, you have to begin to be honest with yourself. And for some of you, one of the biggest steps that you're going to take is to actually write that thing down, because you want to lie to yourself and tell yourself that you've won, or you want to lie to yourself and tell yourself that everything is okay, or you want to lie to yourself and tell yourself that it's not that big a deal. But it is. And you know it's going to destroy you. You know it's going to destroy you. And I want to make sure as we walk through this that this isn't just theoretical, that this is practical. And so I want you to write that thing down. You're not going to have to turn that in. You're not going to have to share that with anyone here today, right? But I want you to make sure that you know exactly what we're talking about. And for some of you, maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know. Talk to your best friend. They'll tell you. Okay, right? Seriously, like if you're here today and you're like, I don't think I have a problem. Talk to people who know you. They will tell you what it is. if they're being honest with you. And I'm serious about that, because it's not okay for us to just continue living that way. You don't want that. God doesn't want that for you. He wants something so much better. And behind every single one of these things, behind every single one of these addictions, behind every single one of these hurts that we can't let go of, behind every single one of these habits that we can't walk away from, is this lie. And it's very, very clear. And you see it behind every single one of them. And the core of it is this: I believe that I'm God. And you say, what do you mean? This is what I mean by that. You think you can handle it. You think that you've got it under control. And you've had that conversation with yourself over and over and over again, where you've told yourself, after you failed, after you lost your temper, after you've blown up your credit card, after this happened over here, you've told yourself over and over again, I can beat this, I'm going to do it. And there's this lie in it that you're in control, that you're God, that you're stronger than this thing that you're fighting. I want you to listen to this passage. It's found in Ezekiel 28, verse 2. It says this. It says, Son of man, give the prince of Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. In your great pride, you claim, I am a god. I sit on a divine throne in the heart of the sea. But you are only a man and not a god, though you boast that you are a god. We think that we can handle it. And today, what I want you to know as we begin this conversation, and the first thing that I want for you to grab a hold of, the first choice that I want you to make as we walk through this, is what we call the reality choice. And simply put, it's this: I must admit that I need help, that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. As we walk through this series, we're going to be looking at this unbelievable sermon that Jesus Christ gives, this unbelievable talk that Jesus Christ gives to his followers. And as he begins that, and week by week, we're going to be looking at verse after verse after verse from this. And as he begins this conversation with his followers, he starts off with something, this unbelievably powerful statement, and it speaks directly to this lie that I am a god. It's found in Matthew 5, verse 3. It says this. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oftentimes, this verse is mistranslated, and it says, and sometimes you'll read it, and it will say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying it's good to be poor. It's not good to be poor. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, it's blessed are those who are poor in spirit. In other words, those who don't believe they can do it on their own. Those who realize that they need God. Because when you realize that you need God, you're on the path to what God has in store for you and what God wants to bring into your life and my life. If you're going to find recovery, it's going to start right here. I admit that I need help, that I am powerless to do the right thing, and that my life is unmanageable. Now, I know that we live in the New York City metro area, so that means for a lot of you, this idea that you're going to say that your life is unmanageable is almost impossible. Right? You're driven people. You have your entire life laid out. For some of you, you really do. It's kind of ridiculous, but you have 5, 10, 15, 20-year plans. And I'll sit down with some people, and they'll be like, this is what I'm going to be doing in 20 years. And I'm like, you have lost your mind. You have no idea what you're going to be doing in 20 years. But you've got it planned out, and you look at your life, and you are in control. And so this idea that your life is unmanageable, even the idea of saying that out loud makes you start to choke. Your throat starts to close, right? I know it's true. For some of you, if you even thought about saying that to someone else, your body would just shut down. You'd be like, my life... It'd be like a guy trying to say, I love you. You want it to come out, but it's not coming out. It's just choking you right there, right? But if you're going to experience real recovery,
You have to become poor in spirit. I realize that I need help. I need help. My life is unmanageable. The way that I say this to myself, and I say this to myself quite frequently, is this. I tell myself over and over and over again, listen, you have the ability to destroy your life in just one day. If it's just you. I tell myself that all the time. It's my way of reminding myself that my life is unmanageable by me. Your life is unmanageable. You can't do it alone. So here's what I want you to do. This is going to be really hard, okay? But I want you, I'm going to count down to three in just a few seconds. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you or the person behind you, and I want you to say out loud to them, my life is unmanageable. Right, I'm going to give you a few seconds because right now your heart's beating like 1,000 miles an hour. And you're like, I can't say it. I can't say it. I can't. But I want you to say it out loud to the person next to you. I want you to actually hear the words come out of your mouth. My life is unmanageable. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Just that. That's all you had to say. This isn't like conversation. Just one thing, okay? Seriously. I know some of you are sitting there like, I'm not saying it. I'm not doing it. Not going to do it. And here's the thing. You don't have to. But if you don't, you're not going to experience the recovery God wants for you. You can continue to live exactly the way you've been living. But you know and I know that's not what you want. And if you want to win, then you've got to trust Him. And it starts with this step of saying, okay, I'm going to become poor in spirit. I'm going to admit that I need Him. And there are a couple different things that I want to point out inside of that and what that looks like and the action steps that God leads us into in that. Okay, the first action step is just admitting that I'm broken, right? That I need help. James 4:6 says this. It says, but He gives us more grace. That is why the scripture said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I have to admit that I'm broken, that I need help. And God says, listen, if you'll admit that you need help, if you'll humble yourself, God is going to move into your life. But if you are proud, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You admit that you need help. But it's more than just admitting that I'm broken, that I need help. It's also understanding, and this is really, really important, guys. It's also understanding that your secrets are what make you sick. Your secrets are what make you sick. And for some of you, you look at that sheet and you look at what you wrote down there, that hurt or that habit or that hang up, and you think that that's what makes you sick. But God says, it's the fact that you keep it a secret. That's what makes you sick. Listen to this passage from Proverbs 28:13. It says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. It's not just that you're broken. You have to understand it's the fact that you're keeping it a secret is destroying you. And then number three, if you want to defeat it, you must admit it. If I admit it, I can defeat it. Listen to what, again, this is God teaching us how to be able to take this step. James 5:16 says this. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
He's not talking about confessing sins to him, because oftentimes in the middle of this battle, we think that, okay, I'm going to win this battle because I'm going to confess this to God. I'm going to be honest to God about it. But you're still keeping it a secret. And God says, listen, it's not just about confessing to me. It's about confessing to the people around you. You need to tell someone what's going on. You need to tell someone what's on that sheet. You need to tell someone about that hurt or that habit. That hang up. It can't be a secret anymore. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. If you want to defeat it, you have to admit it. And then the last thing that you have to realize is that it's not the thing on the sheet that's keeping you stuck. It's your pride. It's my pride that keeps me stuck. It's my pride that keeps me losing this battle. And I know what it's like, guys. I have these battles too. I walk through these things too. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have that conversation with yourself where you're telling yourself, listen, I'm going to be able to beat it this time. I'm going to do this and this and this. And you just keep failing, but you just keep convincing yourself afterwards that you don't have to tell anyone. You don't need help. You don't have to go to anyone else because you're going to be able to get this. And then you bring God into it and you're like, you know what? Me and God are going to be able to beat this thing. That's not God's way. That's your way. And what you're saying is that I'm going to be God. I'm going to do this my way, not his way. See, his way is that we not only confess it to him, but that we humble ourselves and we go to the people around us and we say, listen, I can't keep this a secret anymore. This is what I'm struggling with, and I need you to know. I need you to know. Don't let your pride keep you in the middle of destruction. Don't let your pride ruin your life. Trust God. Trust him. And I know as I say that, for some of you, I mean, there's the biggest pit is beginning to form inside your stomach because you're like, there's no way, I cannot tell people. And there are all sorts of fears that go along with that. I think probably three of the most common fears is just this unbelievable fear in your life and for me as well, that if I'm going to admit this to someone else, I can't imagine what's going to happen inside of me. You're just afraid of your own emotions. Man, and you've just kept this thing suppressed and you've ignored this in your life for a long, long time. But you've decided that you're going to share this and you're terrified of what's going to happen to you emotionally if you let that thing out of that box. But God says that this is the way to healing. For others of you, you're terrified that you're going to be rejected. And you're just terrified that if you do this, that the people around you are going to look at what you shared and they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. That's why it's so crucial that this journey is a journey of grace. That's why it's so important that this walk and that our family is a family of grace. That we understand that every single person in this room is broken. Every single person in this room has hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And that as you step into my life and as you share what's going on, just like Jesus Christ stepped into my life and my experience and accepted me the way that I am, I accept you the way that you are, and we walk through this together. And I accept your hurts and habits and hang-ups, and you accept mine, and we walk forward toward recovery. And then for others of you, you're just looking at this and you fought this battle for so long that you look at it and say, it's not going to do any good. I can be honest about it all I want. It's not going to do any good. But here's the thing, guys. You're not trusting some self-help model or something that some other person put together. This is God leading you forward. You're not trusting some man. You're not trusting me. Not, this is God saying, listen, if you want to be healed, then you confess your sins to one another. You admit that you need help, and you share that with other people. Throughout this series, there's going to be a lot of different homework assignments. And as we go into this week, a lot of it is going to be focused on our dinner groups. And that's how we're going to begin this week. Because as you go into your dinner groups this week, I want you to share with each other what's on that sheet. I want you to trust God that this is the way to healing, that this is the way to recovery. And as our groups get together this week, they're going to eat together, and then they're going to sit down, and they're going to go around, and everyone's going to get the opportunity. You're not going to have to, but if you want to experience this, I'm telling you, this is how it begins. And for you to step into that group and say, listen, this is my hurt, this is my habit, this is my hang-up. And to be honest, to stop hiding, to stop lying, and just be who you are. Now, there are a couple rules that I want to be able to lay down with that, okay? And for some of you not in a group, you can get plugged into a group today. Go back to where those orange lamps are as we go out today. There's two in here and two out in the entryway. They're called connection points. You can get plugged into a group and just walk through this next 6 weeks with us inside that group so that you can experience what we're talking about here. But you need to share that. A couple of rules with that. First thing is this. What's shared inside the group stays inside the group. And here's the deal. For those of you who are leaders or for those of you who are in the groups, right? This is a non-negotiable. If you hear something inside the group and you share that with someone else, it shouldn't even be, I don't care if you're married to the person, I don't care what the situation is. It is not to be shared outside of that group. And we talk about this in groups all the time, but I want to re-emphasize this because it's really, really important. And if you break that, I want you to know there is no like second chances. If you break that, you're out of the group. It's done. That's gossip, and we do not play around with that here. It is unacceptable. The second rule is this. Do not try to fix it. Okay, because I know how it's going to work. Someone's going to share something that they're struggling with or something that they're walking through, and you're going to be on the other side of the group, and you're going to think that you've got the answer. You don't. Okay, I know it's a harsh reality for you to face. You don't. Not right now. And this isn't about us fixing each other. This is about us trusting God. And God doesn't say, go and confess it to each other because the person on the other side of the group is going to have the answer for you. He says, no, no, no. The path to recovery is that you confess it. And so what we're doing inside of our groups is we're giving people the opportunity to follow God and to confess it. Do not try to fix it. Leaders, if someone in your group tries to fix it, just stop them. You can blame it on me. Okay, just say, hey, Chris said that that's not okay. And if you're here and you're one of those people, you just love to give advice, I just have two words for you. Shut up. Okay? Just shut up. It's gonna be hard. Everything inside of you is going to be wanting to say it. No, just shut up. Did I get that clear? Okay. Everything stays inside the group. We're not trying to fix it. And then number three, do not try to relate. Okay? Because this is the other thing that happens inside these groups. Someone will share something, and then you have a story that's somewhat similar, okay? But it's really not. And then you share it, and it totally minimizes what was just shared or just... Everyone in the group's like, what does that even have to do with that? Right? You ever been in one of those situations? Someone comes in and they're bawling. They're like, oh, I just lost my mom. And the person in the group's like, yeah, I just lost my dog. You're like, what? Stop. Be quiet. For others of you, you're like, oh, that's worse. Right? So some of you are here and you're like, oh, that's worse. We'll talk about that later. Don't try to relate. Don't share a story that's similar. Don't share a story about someone that you know that recovered from that, or someone that you know who defeated that. Do not try to relate. They don't need that. When someone shares something in your group and you want to say something, right? Here's what you say. Wow. I can't imagine what that's like. We're here for you. That should be it. Hey, I want you to know we're here for you. Hey, I want you to know we love you. They don't need you to fix it. They're not coming to you to solve the problem. They're coming to you to have someone who walks through it with them. And then the fourth rule is this, because most of our groups are guys' groups and girls' groups, but some of our groups are couples' groups. If you're in a couples' group, here's the deal. When you get to this part of the conversation, you split up, guys with guys and girls with girls. Because otherwise, it's just not going to be shared. You split up. No questions asked. Don't send me emails about, can we do that? No, no, no. Just split up. All right? Those are the rules. You don't have to continue living that way. And for some of you, you're here and you think, man, I've just fought this. There's no way. My prayer for you as we go forward is this. That for just this next week, these next couple weeks, you would allow the hope of God to step into your life. And you would trust Him that He's bigger than whatever you're going up against. Not that you're bigger, but that He's bigger. And you would follow. What do you have to lose in your life and in my life? God wants to lead us to something that's so much better, that's so much bigger, something that's so much more beautiful. It begins with trusting Him, admitting that I need help, that I'm powerless to do what is right, that my life is unmanageable. And then I begin to do exactly what He tells me to do, beginning with sharing my secrets. God wants to bring you recovery. Don't miss it. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and as we look at Your word and how you teach us to bring our secrets out into the open, where they can begin to die. Father, I pray for those who are here, who are staring at that sheet of paper saying, there's no way I can do this. There's no way that I can do this. I pray that You would give them courage. I pray that we would stop trusting ourselves and that we would be completely sold out to trusting You. That we would stop trying to fight this battle our way, and we would buy into this path that You're leading us down. And Father, I know that in 6 weeks, there's going to be story after story after story after story of people who are beginning to find victory where they never thought they would. And I pray that that would be the truth, that that would be the case for every single person here. I pray that no one here would allow their pride to keep them from that. I pray that Your hope would just begin to rise up inside them, and that they would know that there's nothing that You can't defeat. There's nothing that You can't walk through with them. In Jesus' name.